Good evening and welcome to the first of our four late debate by-election specials. I'm Katie Hannan and I'm joined in studio tonight with candidates standing in the by-election in Wexford. But just before I go to them, I'm joined on the line by David Luby of the New Ross Standard to give us just a general read of this constituency. David, you're very welcome to late debate.
Thank you, Katie.
How are you? Could you just first give us a sense of the geography of this constituency?
Sure. Well, you have Malcolm Byrne, who is running in the north of the county. So he is one of the candidates up there, along with Karen Dubsky. Basically, it's perceived that there's a north-south divide, that certain candidates, including George Lawler, are expected to do very well in the Wexford town area. And over in New Ross, Verona Murphy is expected to pick up a vote, along with Johnny Mydin for Sinn Féin. And Enniscorthy Scorty then, Johnny Mydin, that would be his stronghold. So he's supposed to play very well there, along with Malcolm Byrne.
And of course, this by-election is to fill the seat vacated by Mick Wallace. Where is his considerable vote likely to land?
That's a good question. Basically, Mick Wallace, being an independent, the story of Mick Wallace goes back to, obviously, 2011, when he romped home with 13,329 votes. Having declared his candidacy live on television just weeks out from the election, his victory was a game changer, which shattered the 2-2-1 dominancy of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and Labour in the county, upending the traditional vote pattern, which saw people vote along party lines. Now, the question is, which of the current candidates, you know, would appeal maybe to the anti-establishment vote that he would have got at the time? He obviously, you know, the Mick Wallace brand travelled it around. He was known around the country. He had such a unique brand and a unique style about him, and he resonated so much with so many different people. Basically, he transcended party image and party politics, and people identified with him through, everything from his love of sport and through his image, which contrasted with the male, pale stereotype of the Irish politician. So in terms of a candidate to follow in his footsteps, it's not going to be easy, really. But, you know, people are saying that his vote will go everywhere, really. That the vote that he would have got, it's hard to call at the moment, really.
And what are the big issues, then, that are, you know, getting traction on the ground in this campaign?
Sure. Well, health is one of the main issues at the moment. In 2015, our newspaper, the New Ross Standard and Wexford People Papers, reported on how a generation-long crisis loomed within the GP service here. And in the past 4 years, the situation has gotten progressively worse. People are being told to wait up to 3 weeks to be seen by a doctor, and also even trying to get into a doctor's at all is proving difficult, if not impossible. You have also combine that with the situation at University Hospital of Waterford, where they're still waiting on a second cath lab, and huge waiting lists for orthodontic treatment, issues of patients on trolleys. Basically, there's a feeling in the county, I suppose, that the most vulnerable people seem to be at the bottom of the list of priorities for politicians. Our newspaper has covered stories in relation to carers like Joanne Powell lately, who she's looking after her daughter Siobhan round the clock with minimal supports, and there's no long-term plan of action for care for her daughter, which is a huge stress on carers. There's equally a problem in relation to mental health, which has been famously reported nationwide, I suppose, over the last 2 years. In October, we ran a story about a teenage boy with mental health difficulties who spent 40 hours waiting on chairs at Wexford General Hospital. And his is one of many stories, and some of which have had tragic outcomes, really, in relation to the lack of mental health care in the county. Dr. Kieran Moore, the child psychiatrist, the consultant child psychiatrist for the county, resigned as the service was, in his words, unfit for purpose. So, and since then, there have been public demonstrations from the Wexford Mental Health Warriors. So basically, the current situation with mental health is that a new facility called Arden House is about to open, but that requires over 20 staff who all need to be put in place. So mental health, yeah, health are two of the big issues playing out. But then housing is another huge issue. So currently, there are 3,000 people on the council housing waiting list. That figure stood at 4,100 3 years ago, back in 2016. But the pace of progress in reducing the list is a cause for concern, as are plans to build social housing developments in towns like New Ross, which feature four-storey apartment blocks. I suppose this goes along with Minister Owen Murphy's plan to have between 35 and 50 dwellings per hectare. And that is something that has been criticised by a number of candidates, including Verona Murphy, who took aim at her own, I suppose, party lead in relation to housing, expressing concern that little Ballymuns will be created in rural Wexford.
And you just mentioned Verona Murphy there, David. Obviously, there's been a lot of national media focus on Verona Murphy and comments she has made, and indeed comments you've written about yourself in an interview with her. Has that gained traction in the campaign, do you believe?
Yeah, it's an unknown, really. You know, I suppose the perception was, up until she made those comments, until they were publicised in our newspaper and other outlets, you know, the general feeling was that it was a two-horse race between herself and Malcolm Byrne, and that, you know, things were looking quite good for Verona, that she was getting good reception, obviously, as they always say, on doorstep, but that definitely she was proving herself to have name recognition and to be, you know, the feedback was very good, that she really was warm and was resonating well with people. And all of a sudden now we have this unknown as to how it will play out. Her comments, you know, our headline in our newspaper today is "Straight Talking Murphy Aims to Bring Life Work Experience to Dáil," where she's definitely brought her own opinions to the kitchen tables of Ireland with her comments, I think, over the last few days, you know.
Okay, well, I suppose we'll have to all wait and see how that one plays out. David Louis, thank you for joining us with that read on the Wexford constituency. And of course, as David was saying there, he did an interview in the New York Ross Standard with the Fine Gael candidate Verona Murphy, which was published today. That interview raised a lot of eyebrows again, as many comments of Verona Murphy have been doing over recent days. Verona Murphy had been confirmed as a guest on our studio panel here tonight since last Thursday. As of this morning, she was still coming on this programme. Her press handler was in contact with our production team. All was in place. But at 2 minutes to 7 o'clock this evening, we received a call to say that Verona Murphy would in fact not be appearing. And following that, we got a short statement from Verona. "Given the controversy of recent days and my subsequent apology, I have decided not to take part in tonight's late debate. My focus for the coming days will be listening to and engaging with the issues that concern all living in Wexford." Now, we did attempt to get some clarity on what this might mean for her candidacy. We understand that there was a meeting in Fine Gael headquarters this evening, which was attended by Verona Murphy. We don't know what was discussed at that meeting, but the official line from Fine Gael tonight is that she is still their candidate. So there you have it. It is, of course, a disappointing development. If Verona Murphy had joined us, as agreed, I would have liked to have asked her about those controversial quotes she gave to David Luby. I would have liked to ask her whose idea it was to visit a direct provision centre in Waterford yesterday, which she later said gave her a profound understanding of the issues around migration. I would have liked to have asked her if, after that meeting, she still believes, as she told David Luby, that we need to take into account the possibility that ISIS have already manipulated children as young as 3 or 4. I would also like to have asked Verona Murphy if she stands by her comments in that interview that addiction and bad personal choices lead people to become homeless. And I would have liked to have asked her to expand on her view that drink driving laws have decimated rural Ireland. But unfortunately, Verona Murphy has pulled out of tonight's debate, so we won't be getting her response to those or any of the other issues important to the voters of Wexford tonight. But I am delighted to say that I am joined in studio by Fianna Fáil candidate Councillor Malcolm Byrne, Green Party candidate Karen Dubsky, Labour Party candidate Councillor George Lawler, and Aintu candidate Councillor Jim Codd. Now, before I move on entirely from the matter of Verona Murphy, it strikes me like that the views that she aired were so controversial, in particular those comments around migrants being infiltrated by ISIS and needing to be deprogrammed, that it has sucked a lot of the energy up in the Wexford campaign. Karen, if I go to you first, has it changed the narrative on the ground in Wexford?
It did, definitely. Yesterday afternoon, for the first time in canvassing, I was asked about my feelings about immigrants. and in some cases the undertones weren't very nice. And I thought, whoops, you know, this has stirred something which just did not come up before. Today I was asked in one occasion, but it still isn't the dominant. The dominant question is still young people, some really good question about climate change and biodiversity. It's a joy how much they have learned, and fair dues to RTE as well.
Malcolm, this has given Verona Murphy a huge profile, and we were hearing that she already had a good name recognition on the ground in Wexford. Would you be concerned that it might play in her favour?
Well, I'm obviously disappointed that Fine Gael aren't here this evening for this discussion. And I think it's certainly been a case, you know, having been out knocking doors during the local and European elections and for this by-election, immigration is not an issue coming up on the doors. The dominant issues coming up on the doors are housing, health, particularly including mental health in Wexford, education, yes, climate change, as Karen has mentioned, roads, local issues. Immigration is not coming up.
Anybody brought it up with you on the tourist?
No, the only time that it's ever come up in the context is in relation to housing, where people talk about, well, look, where are we going to house the asylum seekers when we can't even house some of our own citizens? And I personally believe that if we can address some the housing crisis, then a lot of the scaremongering with regard to immigration will be taken out of this. But this is just something that, I was always almost dreading that we're going to have a discussion on this, because I was hoping we're going to be focusing on the real issues, which are, you know, housing, health, climate change. I don't like giving oxygen to those who use this kind of issue.
No, you don't like giving oxygen, but we do need to acknowledge if the temperature has changed in relation to this.
I think if we look at, I think perhaps it shows some of Verona Murphy's inexperience. When Verona Murphy made comments about the homeless before, she apologised and backtracked. When she attacked cyclists before, she apologised and backtracked. Recently, she called for the abolition of the Road Safety Authority. Then she and the Taoiseach backtracked from that position. Now we have her backtracking with regard to asylum seekers as well. And I think you have to wonder, is the only gear that she has reverse? I think yes, it has certainly given her a bigger profile, but I think for the voters in Wexford, what they're really interested in is hearing about our response and how we're going to deal with issues like housing and health.
Okay,
I don't think that voters will reward Fine Gael for their failure in some of those issues.
Yeah, Jim Codd, just in relation to that, I mean, we have seen a lot of demonstrations now in a number of centres around the country where there was proposals to put in place direct provision centres. Certainly when we've discussed it in this studio before, we have gotten some reaction in saying, you know, don't keep shutting down people who are just saying what needs to be said. Did you get a sense that this is something people want aired, perhaps not in the way that it has been aired, but it needs to be debated?
Well, Katie, I think it was a clever attempt to test the water. Peter Casey had some success by pulling a similar stunt earlier on. I think now that the water seemed to be too warm, Verona has withdrew from it. I've had the pleasure over the last 25 years of teaching children of immigrants, and any talk like this that in any way demeans them or devalues them leaves them vulnerable. And our party, AN2, is all about the vulnerable and the weak and standing up for them. So I'm quite concerned that was the approach that was used to go looking for votes. I think it's a dangerous one.
You're suggesting that it was a cynical attempt to garner support.
I mean, this works. Give out about the Mexicans, you get votes. Give out about the travellers, you get votes. We're not in that business.
George, what do you think this is just Verona, as she said, called herself a straight talker?
I would be very saddened if I felt that this was a deliberate ploy. And I think what this indicates to us all as people in the public realm is that words and language really matter. The words that we speak and the language that we use really matter out there. And we've seen various situations, not just here in Ireland, but across the globe, where the words spoken by public figures carry a lot of resonance. So I would be very sad if this was a deliberate attempt to hone in on a very populist and to demonisation of asylum seekers.
But you've been a long-serving public representative in Wexford. Mm-hmm. Have you sensed any change in how people view migrants in the community in Wexford? Have you sensed that there has been a shift in people's views?
I think in some smaller areas, certainly that would be the case. But I think a lot of that is down to the Department of Justice, under almost the cover of darkness, deciding that they're going to locate a centre somewhere rather than engaging with the public. We in Wexford Town, for instance, have been fortunate enough to have, I think it's 39 Syrian families immersed into the whole life of Wexford. And it has been hugely successful. And I was particularly thinking of those families with young children when I was listening to the comments that basically these 3 and 4 year olds were going to be infiltrated or manipulated by ISIS. And one of the things that stuck in my mind was the Leitrim hurler, the Syrian Leitrim hurler who scored a point, I think it was in the Lowry Mara Cup final or something, who had become part of the community and was fostered by the community, embraced by the community. That's what the Irish community is about. But I think the Department of Justice has had a poor role to play in this regard, because they have gone in as if there's going to be something totally suspicious about what's going on. And if you look at Achill Island, where 13 people were going to create so much upheaval that they couldn't be brought into the community, I think that says a lot about the role that we have to play. Okay. As I think leadership is also another key issue. Oh. And we must all show leadership
on
this.
Lee Chin, who was co-captain of the Wexford hurling team, had a lovely article in the Irish Times about his family, you know, and his passion for hurling.
Yep.
And, you know, I think we all know about the contribution that migrants have made to our county and to our country. Okay. And I think there is a responsibility, as George said, for all of us to stand politically, despite our differences, against this sort of language.
Okay, I want to move on. I do want to move on because you have all touched on it there at some stage. Housing is obviously a national issue and an issue in the constituency of Wexford. Jim, as you walk around Wexford town and the other towns in Wexford, is homelessness visible now like we see on the streets of Dublin?
Katie, homelessness and the danger of being made homeless is not just an issue for Wexford town. This is an issue in Timon, in Duncarmac. This has gone through our community like a disease. And it is for that reason that I really decided to stand in this particular election, because one night I was at home, a past pupil of mine rang me and said, could you come and get me? He was under the bridge in Wexford. Now, I since went down under the bridge and got up and saw where they were sleeping. Now, they were sleeping in the hollows, the nooks and crannies under Wexford Bridge. There was soaking sleeping bags there. And I counted 9 sleeping bags when I was there. But there's a terrible problem. Now, I hope my fellow councillors are not offended when I say this, but when you sit in our glass palace that cost 46 million to build, you can see the tents. I brought students up there during the summer, and you can see the coloured tents among the furze bushes. I mean, there is a huge void between the people and their politicians, if this is the reality. I said this at the council.
But you're a councillor.
Yeah.
What are you doing about it?
I'm highlighting it at every possible meeting. I think you would find it difficult to find anybody who's spoken more about the homeless crisis and highlighted it more. Not only that, there are abandoned buildings that are not in use, like Wexford, the old hospital, like the Garda Barracks. These need to be used immediately. We need a second emergency accommodation for people. I mean, I've seen a trail of them coming and going. I know a lot of these people by name.
Okay, yeah, George, you're the mayor. You're the current mayor of Wexford.
Current mayor of Wexford.
Long-serving.
Yeah.
Surely a long-serving public representative such as yourself have to take some responsibility.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we do on a daily basis as we make representations for people. I mean, homelessness, whilst yes, we do have people in tents and we have people in doorways, thankfully not not as bad as Dublin, thankfully. We have people in B&Bs and hotels and emergency hostels. But we also have the issue of lack of housing, where we have people who are families living in the box room of relatives' homes, and or the sitting room floors, or sofa surfing. These are the 3,000 people that are on our housing list. We do have an issue with and I can't quantify, I don't know the exact numbers of people living in tents or rough sleepers, as they're termed. But homelessness is not just about living in tents. Homelessness is also about the ability to have somewhere or to have somewhere that you call home. And that's where the 3,000 people are.
But I have to put to you, George Lawler, that you had a minister in the department responsible for housing policy, mm-hmm. and not very long ago at all. And we are still where we are.
Well, I mean, if you consider that for about 6 or 7 years, we basically stopped building houses. So as it stands, we're about 70,000 houses down on what we should have.
I mean, this we all know what the problem is.
Absolutely.
We have all correctly identified and analysed the problem. But what I'm saying is that you had a chance, your party had a chance to deal with it.
And the first time money became available, I think it was about 2 billion euros was made available by the then Minister for Public Expenditure, Brendan Howland. And we're actually seeing houses that were sanctioned at that time coming on stream now. Because one of the most frustrating things, and I think Malcolm, who's a long-standing councillor, Jim is newish to it, one of the most frustrating things we see is how long it actually gets to take from design to planning. There's a four-stage process which is impossible to get through. And then you go back to the department and they're knocking every proposal you have, almost. And it takes forever to get to the point of designing the house to actually giving the key to the tenant to move in.
So what are you going to do if you are elected in this election by the people of Wexford? What could you possibly do that hasn't been done?
Well, as a Labour Party candidate, we have proposed the construction of 80,000 new homes over the next 5 years. And we've costed it. We've said where it could be due. To be fair to Fianna Fáil, they supported our proposal. Unfortunately, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin didn't for whatever reason. There's money available in the Irish Strategic Investment Fund of 5 billion. The Rainy Day Fund, when it's pouring down rain with a crisis, there's 4 billion available there. The credit union have 14 billion sitting there ready to be invested. This is a radical proposal from the Labour Party to build 80,000 houses, and not only 80,000 conventional houses, NZEB houses, near zero energy buildings, which will also tackle the issue of fuel poverty, because these houses are extremely efficient to run and they're the way forward.
Malcolm Byrne.
I would certainly agree with my two council colleagues, George Jim. To give some of the statistics, and I just checked today, the current position, we have made certain inroads as a county council to tackle homelessness. The council is currently aware of 5 rough sleepers tonight in the county. We have in Osnam House and the Women's Refuge, both of those, there are quite a number of people who are housed there. As of tonight, there is only one adult in emergency accommodation, but during the course of the year, we have had a significant number. To date, Wexford County Council this year has spent €366,000 on emergency accommodation. Now, that's one part of the housing crisis. The other part is, as George has rightly mentioned, is that kind of hidden homelessness, the couch surfing, you know, the overcrowded accommodation, which, you know, we as councillors are dealing with on a regular basis. Then there's the third challenge, which is...
I'm going to stop you, Malcolm, because honestly, we have identified and laid out the challenges at all
times.
What I'd like to know is, when you knock on doors, do people blame you as much as they perhaps blame the government, because you have obviously propped up the government, your party has propped up the government, while this housing situation has gotten worse and worse?
What people want to know is what solutions are going to be put in place, and I have been raising, as much as George and Jim at council level have been raising this, and George has mentioned already the challenge. We as a council have been pushing to try to build housing, but it does take the process with the department. And it's interesting again that Minister Murphy is trying to scapegoat local authorities for not building, when he won't put the resources in place, nor will he improve the process by which housing can be. So what would we do? So there are a number of things, and yes, in terms of some of the George's proposals, it makes sense. But I also think what we need to look at is, we have a situation whereby there are thousands of people who are paying rents ranging from 6-7 young people, couples, who are paying 600-700 euro rent in villages like Salt Mills and Feathered, right up to in the north of the county, where people are paying 1,200 and 1,400 euro per month in rent. Now, for those young people and those young couples, what they have to do is they have to pay that rent. They can't afford to save a deposit at the same time. Yet if they're able to get a mortgage, you know, it's going to cost less. What we need to do, and this is part of the Fianna Fáil proposal, is that if an individual can show, or if a family, a couple can show, that they have consistently been able to make those rent repayments over a number of years. So if you can show over a 3-year period, you have been paying that thousands euro a month.
Would you like to persuade the central bank to change its rules on that?
A case that we have to, because
I ask you in relation to the rental issue? Obviously, just in recent weeks, Fianna Fáil has come on board with the idea of a rent freeze. That was after 14 successive mm-hmm. quarters where rents were increased.
Yep.
Some cynic might suggest that they suddenly got converted to the notion of a rent freeze because people like yourself were going to be knocking on doors of people who were paying those kind of rents.
We've been arguing around this case because I happen to know and members of my family and so on who are paying large amounts of rent. I know exactly what the impact is on it. There are two elements to this, because part of it is in terms of, yes, you can control rent for a particular period, but the other element is on the supply side. And we need to look at...
Will you address the question? Why did it take Fianna Fáil so long to come to the conclusion that rents are now unsustainable,
because they
too
have
high?
It
took 14 successive quarters of increase.
What we have in North Wexford now is, and it's something that we have campaigned for, is that it would be classified as a rent pressure zone. And we as councillors...
I want to leave Karen in, because you haven't been in on this. Karen, please. What's your sense?
Housing would not be my expertise, but I do have family in other countries. I have had a son who has left because they couldn't afford to live in Dublin, and his wife had long hours, so she couldn't live down below either. So it is a major issue. I don't have the answers. All I know is that we have buildings in Wexford which are empty for years,
and
it is totally illogical that they're empty. They could at least be as an interim use, like that lovely big Garda station. I also want to say honestly that I could, if I knew enough about it, probably do something about it, but it's not my expertise. And if I did come in, I would love to spend the time on what people are asking me to do, which is on the climate change and biodiversity area, because that's where I have the expertise and I could jump in running.
Okay, and we will obviously come to that, because that obviously is a big issue. I'm going to have to go to a break because we have a lot of issues, and you know yourselves there are a lot of issues that you're hearing about on the doorsteps, but we'll take a break here.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back to our by-election special on the Wexford constituency. Just before we move on, very quickly,
I just wanted to make one observation there in relation to some of the figures Malcolm shared about how many people were homeless in Wexford tonight. One walk down by the mussel boats or under the bridge or around the furze bushes, there will be multiples of the figure produced.
Malcolm, you said there were six registered tonight.
The council
need to get out among the people more.
Just in relation to rent freezes, I mean, we as Labour Party councillors in the past have proposed it, and the fact of the matter is it's always opposed by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael councillors because there's a lot of them who are landlords and who don't want to have a rent freeze. Well, and that's the long and the short of it.
I'm not a landlord,
I appreciate that.
And I think, you know, George, you know how strong I am on this issue.
Okay, now before we continue here with our studio panel, we have been asking the other candidates in this by-election what they're hearing on the doorsteps.
So my name is Melissa O'Neill. I'm a native of Brough, County Limerick, mother of two and former Kilkenny councillor for the last 5 years.
And what's coming up on the doorsteps?
Mainly would be housing and landlords having full control, basically. And obviously outside of rebuilding, there's lots of concerns of public lands being used now with private developers. And of course, being the Irish Freedom Party, one of our main policies is we oppose mass immigration. Health would be a main one for us down here in the southeast. Waterford and Wexford would have amalgamated their hospitals in 2010. And we have now been left basically without a decent mortuary. We have bodies deposing in hallways. We have been left without psychiatric wards. We've been left without mental health for our children.
My name is Johnny Myden. I'm running for the by-election here in County Wexford. I was born and reared in Scarthy. I'm involved in the rugby clubs and soccer clubs and football clubs. I always work for the people and the people on the ground, especially working families.
And what's coming up on the doorsteps?
Well, the one that's coming up a lot in here in Wexford, obviously, is mental health, which is a serious problem, you know. Just there a couple of months ago, we had a chief psychiatrist resigning, Mr. Moore, because of poor conditions and lack of services. And that's a serious thing. And also two of his senior colleagues resigned as well. One of the main topics now coming along, believe it or not, is insurance, is the dual pricing, which is having an effect on everybody. Especially, look, if you have a child going to college and he needs a car to go to college and, you know, the affordability has gone through the roof, people, small businesses, especially medium to small businesses. I mean, I know personally a man who had three vans on the road, and because the insurance went up, he had to let one off and let one guy off, you know, and that's how serious it is.
My name is Cinnamon Blackmore, and I'm a carer for my son. He's got autism and intellectual disabilities. I've been caring for him since 2008.
And what's coming up on the doorsteps?
Schools are a huge issue around Wexford Town and Gorey. Students have been shipped out of Wexford Town for the last couple of years, going to Gorey, New Ross and Enniscorthy. In Gorey now, we do not have enough places for our children going into first year. There are ageing carers who need to find full respite and living services for their children who are severely disabled, and there's nothing available. Carers have been abandoned in this county. Carers are depressed. You know, the amount of people who I've spoken to who are literally waiting years, years and years for tests and x-rays and MRIs. And again, you know, they either have to get into debt with friends or family or banks or credit unions, or not go for the tests and risk getting more and more ill.
And just to say that the other candidate in this by-election is Charlie Keddy, who is running as an independent. We did attempt to make contact with him, but he didn't respond. Now, as you were hearing there from those candidates, and we heard earlier from David Luby, health services is a big issue in this constituency. Jim, you're a long-serving secondary school teacher. The issue with child and adolescent mental health services, is this something that you have come face to face with?
Absolutely. I've been on the front line of this. I've been a teacher in one of the largest schools in the area for the last 25 years. Counselling collapsed a number of years ago, and these children are left with nowhere to go. I know of one particular teacher, and it's a testament to the lady in question, who drove a pupil to a private psychiatrist for help. Ray Shannon and the Warriors, the Mental Health Warriors in Wexford, have been highlighting this for such a long time. I've been on the protest with them. But this, again, is the distance between government and their people. They don't seem to be aware. There's a disconnect. Less than half of the people came out to vote in the last local elections. It seems as if, and it's understandable with the youth, they've given up the ghost with the major parties. They don't come out. They won't put numbers beside their name anymore. And I see this all the time. As I say, I'm 25 years at the front line of working with adolescents. I know perfectly well the issues they're having.
Okay. George, young people have lost faith with the major parties.
I think, just getting back to the mental health and CAMHS, I think this is the scandal of this era, certainly in Wexford, certainly in South Wexford, serving 80,000 people, where we don't have a consultant and haven't had for many months. And Jim Daly's performance here has been appalling. There was a building produced and literally just a name put on it, and nothing else appears to have been done. I'm involved in an organisation called Wexford Marine Watch, where I'm a volunteer and chairman of it, where we patrol Wexford Quays and harbour area, and we see day in and night in, night out, the effect that the lack of services is having.
But this can't have happened overnight. Again, I don't want to keep carping back to the same point, but it must have been creaking, this service, when you were in government yourself.
It has really only come to a head in the past 12 to 18 months, is my belief, that where we've had virtually no service, where Ciarán Moore, as Jim has alluded to, left because of the conditions he was working in, basically walked away because he couldn't take it anymore.
Have you met Ciarán Moore? Have you brought his
We've spoken to the Warriors. I speak to Ray Shannon on a regular basis, and
so they're not going to do anything for you. I mean, where are you taking it? In
the context, all we can do is highlight as councillors. All we can do is highlight and continue to highlight the problems that are in this area. But the notion that a county the size of Wexford, this whole south portion of it, would be left without a child consultant, I mean, it doesn't need a councillor to highlight that. Surely the people within the HSE should look and say,
out there who are only too aware of this problem will be asking themselves is, if I vote for George Lawler, what difference is that going to make to my
problem?
Well,
the difference that was made, that I will stand and highlight it at every single opportunity, and I will demand action. There doesn't appear to be any action being demanded from Jim Daly. It's just a ludicrous, horrible scandal where we have a Department of Psychiatry in Waterford where we're sending children to spend 40 hours on a seat. It's a scandal.
Malcolm, the other issue that is a big issue in Wexford is the cardiac care issue. I mean, probably a bigger issue is it in South Wexford, because up your end, people would be probably more inclined to go to Dublin if they were in a crisis.
I think, you know, if whoever's elected as a deputy represents the whole county, and I think it's fair to say that housing and health are the two dominant issues, and within health, the mental health issue, but certainly in terms of cardiac care, I think, you know, people are well aware in the fact that in the southeast we have been regarded as having a second-class health service. The fact that there's one cath lab for the southeast in comparison to, I think it's 22 in the Dublin area. I mean, I would certainly agree, the concerns that are mentioned with regards to mental health. You know, there are the likes of Raymond Shannon, there's Ray Cullen and Talk to Tom. It's volunteers who are driving this. I was conscious when Cinnamon Blackmore was speaking. Also, she was talking about the role of carers and support for those with disabilities. Mary McCallaghan at the weekend interviewed Joanna Powell, you know, whose story is frightening as a carer, not being able to get support.
In relation to that long-running issue in Waterford University Hospital and that second cath lab, what's the Fianna Fáil position on that? Are you committed to giving them a cath lab if you were back
yes,
in Dublin?
Yes, it's supportive, and I know Mary Butler, TD, the TD for Waterford, has been very supportive in terms of doing this. I think that unfortunately we have a very Dublin-centric government that doesn't seem to understand the need of providing the relevant support in healthcare around the regions. But it's not just, by the way, with regard to the importance for what's happening in Waterford generally. It's in terms of primary care services. And when we talk about, you know, and even let's leave aside the social side of this. If we talk about even just purely on economics, if we have some of the early intervention measures, that represents significant long-term savings. One of the issues about which I've been campaigning for a long time is for the whole question of occupational therapy and speech and language therapy. There are currently 728 people in County Wexford under the age of 18 who have been waiting for over a year for their first assessment for occupational therapy. We're looking at similar kind of figures for speech and language therapy. Now, even leaving aside how morally wrong that is, the cost, and anybody who's involved in healthcare will tell you that if you have early intervention, it will save a hell of a lot in the long run. And can I just
cut across, because I think, you know, again, people are very well aware of the issues around delay care and what that means.
How we solve it as well, Katie.
Indeed.
That's important.
Well, I think that's it. But I think people might also, you said there that this is a government that's very Dublin centric, very Dublin centred. But people might say that Fianna Fáil in Wexford are very North Wexford centred, and that. As your colleague Lisa MacDonald has said, this is letting down the population, the very large population in the south of the county.
Look, whoever's elected is there to represent the people of the entire county and to look at addressing national issues. Because I can tell you the issues, whether it's in, Ballindagan or in Ballycullen or in Ballymoney, they are the same challenges.
If I could get in there, you made a very good observation that about rural Wexford being left behind. And we in A&2 would be very strong on the point that Ireland does exist outside the M50. I was on the beef protest with the farmers this year in Clahamon and Don Meads. They seem to be absolutely forgotten. Absolutely forgotten. As with the fishermen, there needs to be much more pumped in to rural Ireland. Our shops, our local pubs are absolutely on their last legs.
Okay, yeah, Karen, I want to get Karen.
Yeah, this is only a tiny part of it. But first of all, to say this is just a by-election. At the moment, we have Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour in there. And if any of the three get in with one extra person, will that actually change what is happening? And what is at the moment is diabolic on the health in particular. Mm-hmm. But I just want to come back to mental health. I think some of the issues dealing with mental health, particularly when I was going down in the south of the county and going into farming areas, was a lot of the farmers are saying that their children don't want to take over the farm. You talk to the young people who say, I can't take it. I don't know which direction to go.
No future.
On the one hand, we are the baddies because we are producing too much methane and we are causing climate change. On the other hand, we are, if we want to survive, we have to infill our ponds and our wetlands or spray them because we don't get any basic payments for them. And we have to be productive. And they are like piggy in the middle, being squeezed on both sides as they feel it. And we need a new approach where people can be confident. Farmers used to be so settled in themselves. And this is particularly Wexford has a very large farming population. And even those who are living in town are connected to the country. Yep. And I think that is one part of this mental difficulty at the moment. And we have to look at the source of it.
Okay. I'll let George in
relation to the North-South divide, and particularly in relation to the Cat Lab in Waterford. I remember speaking to a prominent North Wexford politician who had no interest whatsoever in the Cat Lab issue in Waterford because all of his constituents, as you've suggested, were going to Dublin to the 21 or 22 Cat Labs that are there. So there is very much that issue that Lisa MacDonald has alluded to, that South Wexford needs representation because the issues that are like...
But need two Labour TDs in town, though?
Well, we've had two Labour TDs in the past, you know, and we've worked very well. Labour has always delivered for Wexford,
politics
I can assure you.
Should not be about the parish.
No.
Politics cannot be about the parish.
Hang on a second.
It's about the merit of the candidates concerned, wherever they come from.
The bottom line is, though, where you have a senior politician saying to me that he has no interest in the Cath Lab issue because all his constituents in North Wexford go to Dublin. Yeah,
I think whenever voters go to the polls, they should vote for candidates on their merits, on the ideas that they put forward. It shouldn't be on the basis of
representation.
Who's the closest?
If a TD has no interest in South Wexford,
I think that's wrong. I think, by the way, Jim Carine have made an important point because we don't often talk about this. One of the other big challenges within County Wexford, and we focused on the housing and health, are the challenges for our rural towns and villages. And the isolation, the loneliness, the lack of services that are in those communities, but equally the investment in those services. A lot of our small villages can't grow because they don't have water and sewerage capacity, and we're not getting any investment into those. And if you don't have growth, if you don't have young families moving into those areas, that has a knock-on effect.
But surely these are issues that are directly related to what the council and councillors should be doing.
Well, no, actually not.
We would love to.
Okay, Jim.
Could I point out my two friends between them here have 20 years in the council and 35 years in the council. I have months. So I think... Perhaps it's time for change. If I could return to a very important issue, what you brought up there about the farmers being absolutely caught, I couldn't agree with you more. The fishermen suffer from this as well. And as long as the large supermarket chains and the beef barons have the control they have, that will remain. That's why we in AN2 brought a beef bill earlier on, and it's gone through the first stage in the Dáil. Padraig Tobin and myself worked on it.
Have you got the traditional money message yet?
I got the what?
The traditional money message that seems to follow all these bills from private members' bills in the current Dáil.
I want to touch on one other issue which we haven't had a chance just to reference to, which I know Cinnamon Blackmore mentioned, which is the schools question. Mm-hmm. And I know George and I've worked on this before. It's one of the other big issues in the constituency is the shortage of schools places, particularly in Goree Town and Wexford Town. And this is about a lack of planning, that even when in Wexford, when there were, you know, school extensions and new schools being provided, there weren't additional places. The government has said that it's not going to provide, as at the moment, give sanction for a third second level school in Goree. That's a serious problem right at the moment and is coming up regularly on the doors. And I certainly think, you know, a lot of my background, it was education and youth work that got me into politics. I think that, you know, we're going to need to start to engage in long-term planning as well around the education.
Okay. But it's also the Department of Education who are denying all knowledge of any crisis.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't take a genius to work out.
Absolutely.
If you look at the number of primary
schools. We obviously don't have enough geniuses in the Department
of Education. Okay. We are. I have to take another break, but stay with us because I want to go to climate change after this.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And now you're welcome back. I want to move on to climate change because there's no doubt that this is a white hot issue out there. I'm sure you're hearing it on the doorsteps. But Karen Dubsky, can I ask you, it's not just because people are concerned with climate change doesn't necessarily translate into a vote for the Green Party, does it?
No, definitely not. There's some people who actually go outright, you are going to kill us. It won't be the climate. You want a carbon tax. You want to squeeze out the farmer and so on. But that is a small minority. And I think the vast majority, and particularly young people, it's funny, young people and old people who say action has to take place now, and are quite concrete in many cases of what they want, which is absolutely fantastic.
Can I ask you though, yeah. I mean, you're a recent, you only recently joined the Green Party.
Yeah.
When did you join?
I joined, whatever it is now, three and a half, four weeks ago.
4 weeks ago, okay. Because I was astonished to realise that in the last local elections, there was not a single Green candidate in any of the local authority elections across the county. That is just really astonishing.
Yeah.
I mean, there must be very little in the way of a party machine on the ground in Wexford to support you.
There is very little in Wexford on the ground. Those who are there are wonderful. But there are other people who are coming out of nowhere. They're no party. And they just say, we want to help you. And I have canvassers this morning. I was with a wonderful farmer who said, I am fed up. I'm not going to cut my hedgerows to bits. I want to keep my wetlands and I want some things restored. And I'm going to canvassing with you for the day.
And are you getting that kind of a positive response generally?
Yes, yeah. I'm getting really, it's funny because I've never canvassed before, so I'm really, really ignorant. But about 80% of young people are really enthusiastic about it.
Do you think they're going to vote, though, those young people?
Well, quite a lot of them have never voted, which I'm absolutely flabbergasted because I come from a family who love voting. But they have said, some of them went to the Garda station to register and to vote and text me to say, right, and some of them are now canvassing. So it's exciting that people are engaging.
And are you having to explain climate change to people on the doorsteps? Or do you find that we're beyond that now?
I think we're beyond. You've got the odd person. I think I came across three who's tried to engage you in, is climate change actually happening and so on? No, they're beyond it. It's really more how fast, and then some issues which are coming up, depending where you are, like the wind turbines. Are you in favour of wind turbines? It's not as
complicated. Are you in favour of wind turbines?
I am in favour of wind turbines, but I'm not in favour of putting them either too close to the shore or having very large industry making a lot of money out of them rather than having public, considerable public participation, which really we don't have enough of.
And just finally, before I leave you and put Gore on the table with this, you mentioned the farmers and Jim has mentioned farmers as well. I mean, the sense I've gotten from a lot of farmers is what you said there, that they feel under threat. They feel they're being blamed for everything. Mm-hmm. Is that, and there is obviously a lot of farmers in Wexford. Do you have a lot of explaining to do to reassure farmers that that's not where the Green Party is coming from?
Well, never mind the Green Party. It's where they can go. They feel they don't, a lot of them just don't, it's not even party. It's they think they don't have a future. And it's to say, yes, there is a future. The CAP reform, which is coming in now, is very exciting. And also, even with the erosion, like some farmers are saying, I am losing so much land. You don't have to lose it. We can have an erosion management policy where farmers can own C if that erodes away. So they just need to be part of the debate and not to be told from above what is going to happen.
Yeah, Jim, you've already said, you know, this is an issue for farmers, that they're worried about their incomes, they're being squeezed already.
Absolutely. Of the 4,000 farmers in County Wexford, only 1,400 of them are independently economically viable. 24,000 is the average wage. That's 10,000 less than the average industrial wage, and it fell by 15% in 2018. But I think it's time that the ESB allowed farmers to sell electricity back into the grid. It's a no-brainer. I mean, 40 years ago, they were using windmills to pump water. This can be done. It needs to happen. Another idea we've had is fishermen should be subsidised to collect the plastic. We have the most fantastic coastline. They're fully set up to do it with the trawler nets. This is something that needs to be explored.
Okay, Malcolm.
I think even though we may not have had a very strong Green Party in Wexford, I think it's probably fair to say that we have had a lot of our politicians, and I certainly count myself, and I know my colleagues have been as well, who have promoted environmentally friendly and sustainable policies. Last week, Wexford County Council had a very successful annual Environment Awards, which have been running for decades, recognising environmental initiatives on the ground. I think one area where we could, and I think it is a priority to look at it, is I'm one of those who commute from my day job to Dublin, like tens of thousands of other people in the county. I've calculated that between using the car and using the train, I've probably driven to the moon and back over the last 20 years. We need to be able to support remote working, and that's about using new technology. But equally, we need to invest in the Rosslare rail line. And I know there's talk about improving the M11, which is needed. But look, the Rosslare rail line is absolutely vital, and we need to make sure that it's a viable alternative. Like, it's impossible for us really to get here to this studio tonight other than by using private car.
No, there is a bus.
But it's very limited in terms of the timing. If you want to ensure that we're here, that's going to be very, very difficult.
Well, we're very glad you made the effort to be
here. And we also need to look at rural transport, because absolutely, it's all, it, you know, yes, the carbon tax coming
what
in.
What did you make of the Green Party proposal of for car sharing?
Well, in rural areas, there's a lot of car sharing that happens anyway, because people will tend to. But I don't think that it's necessarily feasible, because in rural communities, you know, the car is often the only method of transport that you have. But I think
I believe you did carpool with Karen here tonight.
I did, yes.
He didn't offer carpooled.
I'm very happy to carpool.
But I jump in there in relation to cars in rural Ireland, and this affects not just rural Ireland but urban also. If the insurance companies are not soon challenged on the prices they're charging young people, I have had whole swathes of kids coming out of school. A chap told me last week he bought a car for €1,000. He was being charged €5,000 for insurance. These need to be challenged.
I'm looking at the clock. We have so little time left. I want to touch on Rosslare. George, obviously, Brexit, huge challenges, perhaps some opportunities.
Well, huge opportunities. Rosslare, your report, is operating at 38% capacity. It's an absolute abysmal performance by the government in the teeth of Brexit. There's about 130,000 road freight units go through Rosslare every year. About 100,000 of those go in and out of Britain. We've lost the sailing of the WB8s, which is a massive loss to the Rosslare economy. Brexit can actually have huge potential for Rosslare, but there's no foresight, there's no investment. We've had massive investments in the road infrastructure into it, but you know, we've had no investment whatsoever. Promised 25 million investment by Éireann Road Éireann, not a sign of it.
Karen.
Well, the train, as Malcolm said, and as you said, is an absolute must. So they get freight off the road and to the port, and I think with Brexit things will probably, but that commitment is definitely needed. I did want to say something about bicycles early on. So
you have 30
seconds. It's not just cars. We need to have safe cycling ways so that kids can get to school and not to have to take cars because there are no safe ways on rural roads.
Okay. Very quickly, Ross Lair, Malcolm.
Well, the Brexit vote happened 3.5 years ago. We knew that there was going to be some form of Brexit, whatever it was. Nothing has happened. If you were in Ross Lair 3.5 years ago and you're there today, there's absolutely no change. There's actually less in Ross Lair now. Jim. This government has not invested in Ross Lair.
Ross Lair should be the beating heart of the Wexford tourist industry. When you see places like Dingle that can develop such an industry around it, and Ross Lair with its crumbling hotels, it's pathetic. We need to have a really good plan in place to deal with this. There's no reason why culturally and everything else Wexford cannot
compete.
There is
good community spirit
We are actually out of time. Just time for one headline from the Examiner, which is leading with that Verona Murphy story. Varadkar must take blame for race card politics. That's the story there. I want to thank my panel and wish you all the best for the rest of your campaign. Tonight's programme was produced by Regina Henley. Research was by A.B. Philbin Bowman. The broadcast coordinator was Elaine Conlon, and Kieran Cullen was on sound. Do join us tomorrow night when we'll be focusing on the Dublin Fingal constituency. But for now, it's over to Cathal Murray on Late Date.